message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. It is a joy to once again share a few thoughts with you from that great messianic passage, Isaiah 53. The theme of that passage is the suffering of the Lord's messianic servant. The language of the chapter makes it very clear that what we have in view is not a personification of the nation of Israel, but Israel's promised Messiah. We have observed something of the singular uniqueness of the Messiah as the Lord's special servant. We have also looked at how the messianic servant became a sorrowful servant as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We saw, too, that Messiah's sufferings were substitutionary and sin-atoning, and then we contemplated the picture of Messiah as he submitted himself to the Father's will for the purpose of bringing about a redeemed, justified community of believers. In today's study, I want to examine the final three verses of Isaiah 53, where we see the messianic servant as being satisfied with what he has accomplished. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, the prophet writes. Satisfied in the sense that he will look upon what he has accomplished and be pleased with the results. Just as God looked upon his creation and was satisfied and declared it to be good, so Messiah, the servant of the Lord, will look upon what he has brought into existence and declare it to be good. He will be satisfied that his sufferings have not been in vain. All the suffering and grief mentioned in the previous verses connected with the sin-atoning, redeeming death of Messiah are summed up in the words, the travail of his soul. Just as when a man has done a good job, though it may have cost him physically, emotionally, and materially, he has a sense of well-being and a satisfaction of a job well but done. So also for the Messiah in his work of salvation. Though the work of redemption was costly to Jesus, he submitted to it all for the satisfaction of doing the Father's will. His uppermost thought was that of pleasing his heavenly Father. He also submitted to it for the purpose of bringing about the salvation and the spiritual well-being of those who would place their faith and trust in him. Messiah will be satisfied with the many who will be justified, or who will be declared righteous. The term justify, as used by Isaiah, is a forensic or legal term that means to declare righteous. On the basis of his substitutionary death, God's righteous servant, the Messiah, declares those who trust wholly in him as righteous and in right standing with God. It is not a justification on the basis of having perfectly observed the Torah, for that is an impossible task, no matter how hard we may try or how dedicated we may be. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing to people who were attempting to gain right standing with God through Torah observance, said, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." If sinful man is to be accepted with God, it must be on the basis of grace. God alone can justify the sinner, and this he does through Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. All who through faith trust in the substitutionary, sin-atoning death of Messiah will be declared righteous and in right standing with God. The great rabbi from Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, expands on this same theme in his letter to the Romans. In chapter 3 and verse 24, he says, sinners are, quote, justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again in chapter 4 he writes, who, that is Jesus Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous, sinless, sin-bearing, sin-atoning Savior is to be the object of our faith. And to those who trust Him, He imparts His righteousness, and the sinner is reconciled with God. The result of that reconciliation is peace with God. Peace in knowing that the slate of sin held against you has been forgiven. Peace in knowing that as Messiah has paid the penalty for your sin, you can now know no condemnation. My friend, have you trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? Are you resting alone in His finished work of grace? Remember, He alone can forgive you and make you righteous to stand in His presence. Isaiah declares that there will be many among that justified throng, people who know that their sins are forgiven, not just on the basis of what they have done, but solely on the basis of the messianic servant's justifying sin-atoning death. Will you be among those who give great delight to Messiah? I would also suggest to you that Messiah will be satisfied because he will have thoroughly obeyed the Father's will. The central implication of the entire Isaianic passage is that Messiah will act in accordance with what he knows to be the will of God. As the servant of the Lord, and being the Lord's anointed, the Messiah would be duty-bound to perform the Lord's bidding. But disobedience at no time is offensive to the Messiah. Though he is obligated to do God's bidding, his obedience is with a spirit of complete agreement with the whole plan. To people questioning his teaching on how he could be the bread from heaven, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In the spirit of prayer, on the eve of his arrest, trial, and death, Jesus committed himself afresh to do the will of God. Though his soul recoiled at the thought of the suffering that was ahead of him, and that his righteous soul would become the receptacle for the sin of the whole world, he readily yielded to the sovereign, perfect will of God. Not my will, but thine be done, was his prayer of commitment. Jesus knew that there was no other way to secure the salvation of men and women who were held in the bondage of sin and Satan. Two phrases express the idea of hope and give intimation of Messiah's resurrection. The first phrase is in verse 10. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the second is in verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. If Messiah is to see with his eyes the seed or family that he has brought into existence as a result of his sin-atoning death, and if, as Isaiah says, he is to see with his eyes the travail of his soul, then death would have to release its hold and allow Messiah to go free. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a truth that we can put aside out of expediency, necessitated by compromise. It is one of the central pillars of the Christian faith. So important is it that the Apostle Paul declares, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. And in another passage of Scripture, he writes that Jesus was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, Romans 4 and 25. In the closing verse, Isaiah foretells a time when God will divide to Messiah a portion with the great. Messiah will indeed be greatly rewarded for his work of love, first the suffering, and then the glory. First came the cross, and then the crown. This same thought is expressed in the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 2. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not only does Isaiah foretell a time of glory for Messiah, but he prophesies of the same for Messiah's followers. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, in verse 12. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus petitioned the Father for his followers with these words, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. The suffering servant has come, and he has dealt victoriously with the problem of sin, and he has put it away by the sacrifice of himself. The prophecy of Isaiah 53 has been largely fulfilled. There remains yet the time when he will come a second time and receive his followers unto himself. My radio friend, will you be among those who will stand in the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach when he comes for his own? The New Testament tells of a time when men and women will come from the four corners of the world and sit down with the Messiah at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you be among them? Or when he comes, will you be among those who will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to cover them, and to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb? If you have any questions about these matters, please feel free to write us at Message to Israel. Shalom, and may God bless you.